Morning. Hey, I just want to follow up to something that Ken said. We're going to be talking about wisdom today. How many of you guys feel like you could use a little wisdom in your life right now, right? You at home? I mean, we all can use a little bit of wisdom. There is a lot going on. Ken said, you know, there are a lot of people that are out there that they may not even know it, but they're looking for Jesus. They're looking for those who might have answers that they haven't thought of. This is a good place to invite them. It's a good place to invite them to just get online. It's an easy way to just kind of remain anonymous. They don't have to tell anybody. They don't have to show up at a building and see people they're afraid that, you know, might know them or anything. They can just kind of check it out. But there's a lot to be found in the word that God has given to us. That's why we keep going back to it. Amen? So, feel free. Reach out there to people you know. Just tell them what's going on here, because God is doing a lot of good stuff through his work here at Christ Church. Wisdom. You know, God in the book of James, he said, hey, if any of you lack wisdom, ask of the Father, because he gives generously and without question. He doesn't make you fill out an application, nothing. He just, if you ask for it, he gives it to you. Proverbs 16:6, it says that to acquire a little bit of wisdom is better than acquiring a pile of gold or silver. Well, that's pretty impressive. How many of you saw the pictures a couple weeks ago of people lining up around the block to just buy a ticket for the chance at, the infinitesimal chance at $1 billion? They took time off of work to go and stand in line. God says, you know what? It'd be better to stand in line all week to get just a little bit of wisdom. The good news for us today is, you know what? There's no lines, right? We can come here. We can get wisdom from God's word, and it's free. We don't have to buy a ticket, fill out an application. We just have to ask. No better place to get a hold of some of God's wisdom than from God's word. So let's stand together. Let's stand together. We're going to be looking at James chapter 3, verse 17. James 3:17. If you're at home, go ahead and stand with us. We're looking at God's word. Get ready, because he's going to be speaking to us. So let's keep our ears, let's keep our hearts open. Because God said if we'd ask, he would speak to us. And he's going to talk to us today about wisdom. James 3:17. It says, the wisdom that is from above is pure. First, it's pure, then it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits. It's unwavering and without hypocrisy. I want you to look at that list. Just let it soak in. We're going to be taking a look at this list. Look at what wisdom is. You know, let's make sure too that it's not lost on us that this book of James, it was written by Jesus's little brother, James. I mean, can you imagine? Talk about growing up in the presence of wisdom. How many times do you think that he heard from like Mary or Joseph or one of his teachers, James, why can't you just be a little bit more like Jesus, right? You think that ever came up? Have you ever known someone that seems to just do everything right like that? They make all the right choices. No matter what they face, they have the right answer. They choose the right words. They make the right investments. They end up with the right connections because they've been building the right relationships. Everything just to go, it's almost demoralizing to just walk with them for a day. Because here we are, most of us, we're bumbling through life just hoping not to destroy things too much, right? And there they are going through a minefield, navigating it like it's a playground. It's just a little challenging to be with them. The Bible calls that skill wisdom. Not just knowing things, but knowing how to translate the things that we do know into really a life that is lived well. But as effortless, and this is what we want to think about this morning, as effortless as the life of wisdom looks like from the outside, there's actually a lot of tension. There's tension that comes from living a life of wisdom. It comes from living that out, and it causes tension sometimes around us in life, but there's also a tension within, the tension of the soul, a soul in tension. And the Bible says, you know what? That is the furnace where wisdom is formed, this tension within. So this morning, as we begin our new series called Soul Intention, and take a look at the spelling because it may not be what you thought it was. Soul Intention, we're going to start by talking about the tension of wisdom. Father, this morning, we want to hear from you. We need wisdom. There's a lot going on, and we need your wisdom. So speak to us. Our hearts are open. Our ears are open. We are here to hear your word. So Holy Spirit, come and speak in our hearts in that very personal way. That personal way that speaks in a way that no one else can, that tells us things in ways that we hear it clearly. Help us be wise so that we might bring honor to you, that we might bring peace to this world, that we might honor the name of Jesus who gave so much for us. We pray all this in your name, Father, in the name of your Son, and by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. You can be seated. You know, most of us have heard at some point, we've heard the scientific name for human beings, right? You know what that is, right? If you know it at home, go ahead, you can type it out. If you're pretty sure, it's kind of like a game show, type it in the chat. You know, take a chance. Homo sapiens. You guys heard that, right? You may have even at some point in a science class, you know, back in high school, may have even used it in a sentence, right? Well, I'm gonna help us all feel a little bit better about our intelligence right now. We're gonna feel a little bit smarter because actually Homo sapiens, it's two words. It comes from two different languages. Both of them, these classical ancient languages, the languages that doctors study, that lawyers study, that scientists study, that theologians study. All these smart people are studying these languages. These are the languages of smart people. Homo sapiens, one word comes from Greek, one comes from Latin. You guys didn't even know you knew Latin and Greek, did you? Huh? Feel better. We could just close down right now, right? We could go away feeling better about ourselves because we actually know Latin and Greek. Homa, the first word, is a word from Greek. And what it means is the one who. It's an individual, okay? Homa, the one who. Sapiens, it's a Latin word. And you know what it means? Wisdom. So when we had the chance to name ourselves as a species, what we chose to call ourselves was the wise ones. Pretty humble bunch, huh? Right? We're pretty sure of ourselves, especially when you look around and you see some of the foolishness we pull off, right? But we chose to call ourselves the wise ones. Here's the question. Wouldn't it be great if we actually lived up to the name that we gave ourselves? And it ends up that God says, you know what? I want you to be the wise ones. I want you to be Homo sapiens. I want you to live lives of wisdom. How do we do that? Often we think of wisdom. Wisdom is like going into life where you know all the answers before the questions even get asked, right? You know all the approaches, how to get around and how to navigate certain situations before you even hit that situation. You know all the skills to get you out of a problem. And if that's what wisdom is, then gaining wisdom is sitting around and asking all the right questions to the right people so you can get the answers to prepare you for the life when you hit that question. And that's why most of us give up on a life of wisdom, because we don't have the time to sit around. We don't know the people to ask the questions to who would have the answers that would get us set up for life. Or maybe we don't have the connections, but most of us are too busy just trying to make life happen that we don't have the time to sit around all getting prepared for that life that's already, I mean, it's hitting us right in the face. And so you say, you know what, I'm gonna have to give up on that idea that I'm gonna be living a life of wisdom. It's too hard. And beyond that, what we find when we actually go into life is this, is when we hit any new season of our life, any new situation, any new challenge, tell me if this isn't true. What happens is you go in and you realize even if you didn't even know the questions to ask. You get there and it's so new, it's so different than anything you expected sometimes. That's the biggest challenge. Even if you had known the question, had known that something was coming, you wouldn't have even known the questions to ask. Because even if you talk to somebody and they've gone through something similar, it's not the same. Your life is your life, and the challenges you face are new. You know, the Bible, it says that the mercies of God are new every morning. But sometimes we wake up and we go, man, the challenges of life are new every morning too, right? And so we go, you know, if that's what wisdom is, this is a hopeless task. So we say, is that really where we find wisdom? You know, years ago, I was in this workshop. It was on youth ministry, and the question was raised to the facilitator at the time, and it was one of these youth workers, it was a youth pastor in a church, and said, you know, how in the world are we supposed to teach our students everything they need to know for life, how to follow Jesus, how to live a wise life in their relationships and in their circumstances and situations? We have maybe 3 or 4 hours we get with these students, and they have 35 to 40 hours that they're getting in school. They have 30 to 40 hours they're putting into TV. Nowadays, it would be like on their screens, on social media, on the computer, and gaming, something. They have time that they're putting into extracurricular activities after school. They have to put time into homework. How are we supposed to make a dent with the 3 or 4 hours that we get? And the facilitator said something that I remember to this day. It has stuck with me ever since. He said, you don't teach them what to think. You teach them how to think. What we find from Scripture is that God is not interested in preparing us for a life by telling us all the answers to all the questions. Instead, he is trying to teach us how to think about any question that we would hit, any challenge that we would face, to give us like these filters, these attitudes, these perspectives that would help us process anything we would face, so that we would within that find a wise answer, a wise approach, a wise decision to make. That's wisdom that it talks about in God's word. So in that verse that we read, that's why it doesn't give us a list of if this happens, do that. If this happens, do this. Instead, it says, it gives us this list of attitudes, of mindsets that we should be running everything through. So it says, wisdom is pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's reasonable. It's full of mercy and good fruits. It's unwavering. It's without hypocrisy. God says that these are the mindsets we need to make habits in our lives, that every time something comes up, we run the question through these mindsets. So what are these things? What are these things that he's listed? Well, we need to look at them. We need to understand them. So the first one is purity. A lot of times purity, we think that's living a life where you make no mistakes, right? It's living the good life. It's a moral, upright life that there's no one could bring any charges against you. And while that can be applied that way, purity in the Bible is talking about purity. It's like pure water. It means that nothing is mixed in. It means that there's not all kinds of junk swirling around in it that's diluting it, that's making it impure. And God says that our lives need to be consistent in that way. That we can't be like waffling back and forth from one side to the other, that we believe in God and we love him and then we don't love him, and then we answer one thing to one person, we answer something else to somebody else. He says if there's that kind of inconsistency, that kind of compromise in whatever situation you find yourself, that you're not going to find wisdom. Because you're constantly just bouncing back and forth. Then it says, be pure. The second is peaceable, and peaceable is exactly what it sounds like. You don't stir things up when you go into situations, right? You bring peace with you into that place, and things become calmer because you're there. Now, that sounds great, but immediately, just with two, we're just into two, and do you hear the tension that's starting to rise? Imagine yourself living a life that is consistent, right? Doesn't compromise. It has integrity to it. A life that's peaceful. You go in and there's tension that rises in two places. We've talked about it. One is, If you live a life of integrity, there are sometimes people that don't agree with what you say, with what you stand for, with how you live. And so there's a tension that develops with them. I don't know if you guys have experienced that, but there's a tension. There's this outer tension. Even if you are trying to live a life of peace with others, if you're at peace with person A and you're at peace with person B, but person A hates person B, person A may not like you because you're at peace with person B. So even if you try to live a life of peace, sometimes it brings up this tension on the outside. Wisdom sometimes does come with tension. But there's another kind of tension, and it's this internal tension, that tension of the soul, because there's a tension between these mindsets. I don't know if you caught it as we were describing what these things were, but have you ever tried to live a life, right, that you stand for, you have integrity in it, you're not compromising, but then you're also trying to stay at peace in the relationships you're in, especially maybe that person that doesn't quite agree with what you stand for. And all of a sudden there's a tension. Do I change what I stand for in order to gain peace? Or do I let go of peace in order to hang on to what I stand for? Do you see the tension? That's an internal tension. Nobody cares you're thinking of that stuff. That's your problem. Right? That's the soul intention, right? But God says, you know what? If we can press into that instead of running away from that, if we can say, you know what? We're not about one or the other. God says, run it through both. Keep both of these online. Keep both of these filters and figure it out. How do you have peace and purity at the same time? Because out of that comes wisdom. Wisdom. You know, that is where we find not the easy answers. Easy answers would be, well, just be at peace with all people. Just take that one and run with it. Throw the other filter out. Or just have a life of it. That's the easy answer, right? Instead, we find the wise answer. The life of wisdom is holding these mindsets in tension in our souls and running and finding the harder answer to find, but the answer that's far more worth finding. And James doesn't stop with just two, does he? He gives us a list of, he goes on, he says, the gentleness. You know, go with purity and go with peaceable, but then gentleness, which really is a word that means that you're taking into account, you're not just reacting to what you see. Instead, you're digging in and finding out what's behind what's going on here. What's driving this person? Do they have a reason for responding to me the way they do? Do they have a reason for not agreeing with what I'm thinking? What's going on in this situation? Are there dynamics beyond just what seems to be obvious in this situation where we can't get along with all these people? And you're looking behind. That's what gentle means. Reasonable. Reasonable is talking about you're constantly going into a situation, not saying, I know what the answer is, but you're going in saying, I have an idea, but I am always open to learning. I'm always willing to go off of what I think if someone else can show me, you know what, there's a better answer to this. Oh, okay. And you shift directions. That's what that word means, reasonable. Some translations, they call it willing to yield. Do we go into our situations willing to change course? Not so set on that we're right and they're all wrong. Full of mercy. Mercy means you're willing to forgive anybody and everybody for anything they've ever done, even those who oppose you, and they keep at it. Keep bringing chaos in your life. Mercy, good fruits, is about I'm seeking the best outcome for everybody involved here. Not just me. I'm not in it for my own self-interest, but everybody involved. Unwavering. Unwavering is a word that means something. It's like you come into a situation and you're not it's kind of like that word gentle. You're not coming in with a preconceived idea of anybody in the room. You're not prejudiced. You're not prejudging anything. Instead, you're coming in with a heart towards learning and a heart towards really engaging with whoever the people, because most of these things are about relationships and whoever is there. And then without hypocrisy, hypocrisy is a word that came from the Greek stage. It meant holding up a mask in front of yourself in order to play a certain role and then changing that mask and holding up a different mask to play a different role. That's what hypocrisy was. And we go, wow, those are great character qualities, aren't those? Those are great attitudes for life. But think about what it would mean to hold all of those at the same time. We talked about peaceable and purity, but think about what it would be to have kind of these undiluted beliefs and not be hypocritical. Think about what it would mean to be merciful towards all and peaceable and yet not be a hypocrite. That's hard to do sometimes. To not just change masks, to stay the same throughout, but still be able to be merciful and to be good towards all. And God says, yes, this is hard. There's a lot of tension in trying to hold these things together. There's a lot of time that it takes to try and find the right, the wise answer. But wisdom is better than gold. It's worth standing in line for all week if you have to just get a little bit of wisdom in your life. So take the time, do the work. Think about a decision that you've made in your life. Maybe it's a recent one. Maybe it had to do with a relationship. Maybe it had to do with an opportunity that was in front of you. Maybe it had to do with a challenge that was in front of you. Think about the response, how you typically make that decision. Is it reactive? Is it just you try and get it done so you can move on? Especially when it comes to people. Can you think of a time that you went into a situation and you said, you know what, I know I'm right and they're dead wrong. Did that help? Was that something, peace came out of that? You know, just amazingly appeared because they go, like in TV shows where they go, oh, you're right. You know, they never do that, right? Nobody ever does that. Because life isn't a television show. It isn't a movie. Life requires wisdom, not just good writing. Have you ever watched somebody on a tightrope, you know, this is where we got the image for this series. Have you ever watched somebody on a tightrope? Have you ever tried to walk on a tightrope? You know, a tightrope is when you take one wire and you string it between two anchor points, right? And you try and walk on it, and it's just wobbling back. Have you ever tried to do that? I when I was a kid, I would try and walk on the curb. You know, it's about 6 inches wide. I still fall off it. You know, I couldn't even imagine the magic that it takes to walk on a wire that's just hanging in air. Sometimes I think that we think that wisdom is like trying to balance between these two things that we've anchored in. It's either this or that. We either have to have integrity or else we have to be at peace, but we can't possibly be both. And to be both, we have to like do this high wire act of, right? But God says, no, it's easier than that, but it's tougher than that at the same time. Because have you ever walked on a trampoline? Not jumped, not done tricks, just walked. How easy is that? You know, that whole mesh that is making that up, it's bending and moving all the time too, but there's a bunch of them and they're anchored in far more than just two places, I hope, unless you got a really old, bad trampoline, right? But you have all these anchor points and that gives it the stability that it needs. If you asked me, if you set up a tightrope over Niagara Falls and said, okay, we need you to walk over that, my life would be gone, right? That'd be the end. Now, if you set a huge trampoline over Niagara Falls, that'd be easy. We could all go across. Why? Because did it take more to set up the multiple points of anchoring? Did it take more to put that together rather than just stringing a wire across? Yes. Sometimes we think that wisdom is found in just having the right answer. Which of these two is right? Pick it, go. Next question, which of these two is, and we try and boil it down. The problem is that what we find is that there isn't a right answer that comes out of that. Wisdom actually comes from this tension this tension of trying to answer this question from all kinds of perspectives, of trying to really take into account all kinds of dynamics that are at play, of actually digging into the question of what is really at hand here, what is really at work, and how should I respond because of that? That's wisdom. And it's tougher. Wisdom is how to take the time to run our decisions and questions through all of these filters so that we're anchoring to many points and that the walk becomes more stable, even though it takes more time to set it up. Wisdom is matured over time. It's matured over time and over seasoning and over effort and intentionally pressing into it. Wisdom is learning how to respond to things like God responds in the wisdom that he has. Do you know that God, that he sees you through wisdom like that? On the one hand, he never compromises his holiness, right? There's an integrity to that. There's a purity to that. He never compromises what he stands for or who he is. But on the other hand, he is ready at any moment to offer us mercy. How does he do that? How is there integrity in that? He's ready at any time to do whatever it takes, whatever it costs him to offer us mercy. God never comes into a room and surveys the room and says, you know, I need to impress those people, so I need to wear this certain mask with these people so they're not mad at me, but I need to wear this other mask with these other people so that they're still on my side too. He never does that to us. We're never on kind of that outside where he's just kind of entertaining and putting up with. Instead, God takes, he lives in that place that we would call that place of tension, that place of wisdom. It says in Scripture that God always takes into account, he takes into account what has shaped us into the person we are that has driven then the choices that we make and the decisions. While other people look on the outside and they see just the act itself, God knows everything that went into that. He knows the parents that raised you. He knows the family line that you came from. He knows the good and the bad that came out of that. He knows the situation that you're in presently and every thought and concern and anxiety that's going through your head. He knows all that. He sat outside the temple one time and he said, you see that widow who dropped 2 pennies in the offering? She gave more than the guy that gave just bundles of money because that was all that she had. He knew that. He responds to us. He looks at us through eyes of wisdom, and he calls us, he asks us to reflect him and reflect his life, his character, by doing the same, by living in wisdom. You know, over the next several weeks, we're going to be really digging into this. What does it mean to live in the tension of things that on the outside look like they couldn't live together? If they, you know, they'd be horrible roommates. We take things like, if you have grace and truth, man, if you talk about something we have a hard time with is grace and truth. But as hard as that is to just live in those two anchor points in our life, and then throw like generosity and justice in the mix, because all four of those have to be in play. Because the wisdom of God is found in the tension of the soul. It's not found in just a life of ease where we're not thinking about anything. We're done. It's not found in a life where we're given all the answers to every situation. It is found in the tension of trying to figure out the answers in the midst of the life that we're living and the relationships that we're in with one another. And in the midst of that relationship, sometimes we're even in the midst of with God. The soul intention. You know, I want us to think about this, conflict sometimes, conflict in our life arises. It's because we don't sometimes look for that better option, that wise option. Isn't that true? Conflict arises because we don't take the time to dig deeper. We don't ask one more question. We don't look at one more perspective. Conflict arises because we react too quickly instead of going to that place of tension where we have to just sit there and let it feel uncomfortable until it's like the right answer, the wise answer emerges because we stayed anchored to all of these mindsets. We stayed anchored to all of these filters. We respond sometimes with something we might call purity without mercy, right? Sometimes we respond in ways that we press in towards a hard decision, but we're not thinking, is this in everyone's best interest? We're thinking, is this in my best interest? We find that wisdom isn't in our life because we go too quickly and we don't anchor into all that God has given to us. So how can we start this journey of developing wisdom? And I want you to know it's a journey. It's gonna take some time, right? But how do we begin? I wanna give you three things that we can start on. Even this afternoon, you can start with this. You can start, okay, I need to start building this practice into my life. The first is this, and the first is kind of the most fundamental piece of this. Learn to always ask, make it a habit to always ask one more question. To always ask one more question, to get one more perspective. And don't let it always be a perspective that you agree with. Get one more voice in the mix that might bring something up that you haven't thought about, that's gonna bring more tension, not less tension, to the situation. Bring one more voice in, one more question. Let's move a little slower in our reactions and our responses, especially when it comes to people. Let's dig a little deeper. Let's find out what's going on behind. You know, and always in still, when you're finding that one more voice, make sure that God's voice is in there somewhere. Sometimes we miss wisdom because we don't even bring God into the mix. You know, we're trying to figure it all out with what we already know. This verse in James is a good one to just have on a card, where you just have a checklist and you say, okay, have I thought about, is it good for everybody? Have I thought about, you know, am I keeping my integrity? Is it peaceable? Am I being a hypocrite? And just carry that one card with you. Just learn this one verse and make sure that you're always bringing it in as God's voice into that situation too. And God has a lot more to say, but always ask one more question. Second, don't settle for the safety, the shortcut of trying to find what did the biggest crowd say? I think I'll go with them. And you know why? Because what you end up with in that kind of situation is you end up with just two big crowds that are trying to get people and they're duking it out to trying to show that they have the best answer. They haven't necessarily taken the time to find the best answer, but they're doing, I don't know if this reminds you of any situation we've seen in our lifetimes, but there are two big crowds that are just hammering each other and pounding it out to show how much they know. And we say, well, I'll just go with either the biggest crowd or one of the big crowds because they must have figured it out. That's why they have such a big crowd. That's a shortcut. You're not gonna find wisdom there. Sometimes wisdom finds something that is in those crowds, but sometimes wisdom finds an answer that is this other option that nobody's even thought of yet. And it's better for everybody involved. And God doesn't call us to be a part of a crowd. He calls us to be a part of his people who are people of wisdom, who reflect his nature. They go to that place that has far more tension, but far better answers. Third thing is this. Okay, so ask one more question always. Don't just go with a crowd. There's no safety in a crowd. There's safety in wisdom, but not in a crowd. The third one is this. Get ready for a lifetime. Get ready for a journey that's gonna last a long time. Don't give up because you say, I'm not good at this yet. Of course we're not. Wisdom matures over time and over a lifetime, over practice. Of course we're not good at it yet. This isn't a set of answers that you download and all of a sudden you know them. This is a skill that we develop and we get better at and better at and better at. That's wisdom. It's hard to go back to that place of tension in your soul. And that's an uncomfortable place to be, but pretty soon you start seeing, you know, the best answers come out of this. We start getting in the habit. We just go back and we go back. We ask one more question. We pull in one more voice. We listen to God. You know, God has always intended for us to be the wise ones, his wise ones. And to do that, though, we need to do the work. We need to do the work. We need to get used to living in the tension of wisdom. Why? Because wisdom, to get just a little bit of wisdom, is better than even a pile of gold. Amen?